සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියං පි බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියං පි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියං පි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි
I have a question for you. You just took the three refuges and the five precepts. What does that mean? And I want an answer. Do you know what it means to do this? No? Well, you come and you do this every Sunday, right? So you need to know, you need to understand what you're doing. Everything about the Buddha's path is about understanding. You don't just do things because your elders tell you to. You do them because you understand what you're doing. Now, when you took the precepts in Pali, can you translate that into English for me? What does it mean? Okay.
The second one, I think I have it in order, but you shouldn't steal anything.
Okay.
You shouldn't drink or take drugs.
Right.
You shouldn't lie.
Right.
And you shouldn't have sexual misconduct.
Right. Very good. Why?
Because those things are all really bad. You can't even take them in moderation, because anything that falls into those categories it always leads to bad things.
It always leads to bad things. See, the reason that you take the precepts is because it affects your mind in a very negative way if you break a precept. If you kill even ants, even cockroaches, even mosquitoes, if you kill them, in your mind, you have anger. And you don't like those insects and you want them to stop bothering you. But if you kill them, you develop having a guilty mind. And that starts affecting the way you see the world. And it makes you unhappy. Now, if somebody steals something from you, how do you feel? When they take it away and they won't let you have it anymore, how do you feel? Do you feel happy about that? No. So you don't want to make anybody else feel that way either, right? So you don't take things that aren't given. Now, the next precept I want to talk about is a very important one. And that is, don't tell lies. Don't say things that aren't true. Don't use words that are very crude and harsh. Cursing. And that seems to become more and more popular in this country as time goes by. You can't watch television without people using very crude language. You can't listen to the radio without hearing a lot of crude language. The kind of speech you want to develop is something that everybody smiles when you say it. Okay? Something that's very pleasing to people's ears. Now, why do you keep the precept not to tell lies? Because as soon as you say something that's not true, in your mind, you know that you made a mistake. Your mind tells you, I shouldn't have said that. It wasn't true. Now, the real problem with this is it starts making your mind more and more unsettled. Your mind becomes very agitated. It's hard to sit still. You always want to be moving around. You have to be moving something. The reason that that occurs is because you break these kinds of precepts. This is called restlessness. And the more restless a person is, that means they've been breaking a lot of precepts. Now, I know that it's kind of a difficult thing sometimes because culturally we're taught to tell little white lies, just little tiny ones, it doesn't matter. But every time you say something that's not true, your mind says, oops, shouldn't have done that. And then over time, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you start becoming more and more emotional. And you start making more and more wrong judgments and causing yourself and other people around you problems. And then when you start talking, people won't believe you. Why? Because you make a habit of saying things that aren't true. If you want people to believe everything you say, you need to be honest. And then they will trust you. So it's real important to be honest. Even if you do something and your mother or your father comes up and they say, did you do that? You say yes. If your parents find out you lie, then they're going to punish you that much more for whatever you did, right? And they become very upset. Why? Because they want you to be honest. Now, when you keep all of these precepts, what happens to your mind? You don't have any guilty feeling coming up? So your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. And everybody around you feels that. And they want to help you. They want to Do things that are very nice. Now, another reason for keeping all of the precepts is because it is a kind of protection. You know, you hear about a lot of people, they die because they were in a car accident. Or one reason or another, they were killed. They die a very unnatural death. The reason that that happens is because they didn't keep their precepts. When you keep your precepts, it is a protection. In one of the books, it says that even if you fall off a cliff, a very high cliff, you won't die from that. You won't be killed if you keep your precepts. Now, especially in this country, a lot of people don't like the idea of someone talking to them about morality. They don't like to hear this kind of stuff. But they don't understand how important it is. A lot of people will say, well, I'll keep my precepts when I go to the temple. And then when they get out of the temple, they act any way they want. But the precepts need to be kept all of the time. The sexual precept, not having any wrong sexual activity. Some of you are a little young for even thinking about that. But the others, if you're still under the care of your parents, it is very wrong to have sexual activity. It causes your parents a lot of upset, causes you a lot of problems. Taking drugs, taking alcohol, what does that do to your mind? Why would you want to do that to yourself? Well, everybody else is doing it. My friends do it, and they don't suffer from it. That you see, but it really causes a lot of problems for your mind. It dulls your mind out. It makes your judgment not good. It causes all kinds of problems. Well, it doesn't matter if I take just a little bit. Yes, it does. It matters a lot. This isn't talking about taking medicine. This is talking about taking alcohol or drugs so you can go play. So you feel like your mind is more light and it's more fun. A lot of people harm themselves very badly by doing this. So you want to not do this at all. When you keep these precepts without breaking them, it's a protection for your own safety. And you'll be able to pick your friends better. Because you'll want to be around people that you feel comfortable with that keep the precepts. You don't want to be around somebody that tells lies all the time, do you? You don't want to be around somebody that kills things. It doesn't make you happy. But when you keep your precepts and you make sure that your friends keep their precepts, then it's very easy to be happy. Now, another thing that's real important is to practice your generosity. Well, I don't have anything. How can I be generous? Oh, there's lots of ways you can be generous. There's three ways in particular that the Buddha talked about. You be generous with your speech. Generous with your actions. Generous with your mind. Now, what does it mean to be generous with your speech? You say things that are helpful and make other people feel good. You say things that are very nice. You don't say things that are hurtful. You try to say things that make your friends that you're talking to, that make them smile, that make them feel good. How does that make you feel? Huh? Happy. Happy, you bet. That's what the Buddha's teaching is all about, isn't it? How to be happy? Real important. So you practice saying things that are helpful and kind, especially to your parents, right? And then you do things that are very helpful. You don't complain because I don't feel like doing it. You go ahead and do it. And watch the expression on your parents' face when you do it without them having to tell you over and over again, clean your room. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now, the third part of this is being generous with your thoughts. How can you be generous with thoughts? You think of people and your friends in a very kind way. You don't talk about negative things about your friends. You're not being generous when you do that. Or your enemies. You only use speech that is kind. Not complaining speech. And when you use that kind of speech, that means that your mind becomes generous. You start looking at the positive things in life, and this is important. If you have ever met a friend and they're always sad, do you think they're thinking about things that are nice and uplifting and happy? No. They're looking about at things that are pulling their mind down, that are causing them to be unhappy. One of the things that the Buddha said that's real important is whatever you think and ponder on, that is the inclination of your mind. Now, what does that mean? If you think about being happy all the time, your mind will tend to be happy. If you think about being sad all the time, your mind is going to be sad. What are you practicing when you're using what kind of speech? Now, internal dialogue speech, you're thinking. You develop the habit of looking at things negatively, then you're always going to see negative things. If you take the time to make everything happy and make life fun and turn it into a game, then it's real easy to put a smile on your face, isn't it? One of the things that gets lost in Buddhism is that the Buddha tried to teach us how to be happy, and sometimes that gets lost. When you're at school and you're happy and you're paying attention to the teacher, how fast do you learn? Do you learn things quickly? When you're happy, But when you're unhappy, how do you learn? Oh, I'm thinking all of these unhappy thoughts. I'm not even paying attention to the teacher. And then they come and they give you a test and you do poorly on the test because you were unhappy. I have a lot of students in other countries. Before they take a test, they come and they tell me, I'm really afraid. If I don't pass this test, I'm not going to continue. I won't be able to continue on in school. What should I do? Well, I said, worry about it. That's really helpful, right? That helps you to study, right? Well, you have to let go of worry. You have to let go of fear of what is going to happen in the future. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, do you? Do you know in 5 minutes from now, this ceiling could fall on us and kill us all? Do you know whether that's true or not? You don't know until 5 minutes goes by and you see whether it's true or not. So worrying about what's happening in the future only causes your mind to become distracted. So what do you do when you have a distracted mind? You let go of that distraction, and now you relax. Relax your mind, relax your body, just for a moment. Then smile. Yeah. Why do you smile? Because when you smile, your mind starts to be uplifted and happy. Right? Now you go back to studying what you were doing. If you make study into a game, make your schoolwork a fun game, it will be so easy for you to understand. And you will actually get very good grades because of it. That's what I tell all of my students that are going to college. If you don't like the course you're taking, then find another course that's more fun. That's something that you're really interested in. The more fun you can have studying, the better your grades become. The easier all schoolwork becomes. But if you start thinking about, oh, I hate this class, I don't want to write this thing, I don't want to do this homework, I hate this stuff, then is that going to be an easy class for you to pass? So you have to think of ways to make it more fun. And as you're smiling while you're doing your homework, it gets easier and easier. It's not work anymore. Now it's just learning. And that's the attitude that we need to develop. I don't like the word work. I don't even really know what it means. Isn't that odd? I used to have a big company. And sometimes there would be a lot of things that were delivered. I worked building houses and such. A whole truckload of wood would come. Now we have to take the wood off of the truck and put it where it's supposed to go. So, grab one piece of wood, take it down, put it where it's supposed to be. Go do it again and again. And I was told, oh, yeah, you're working very hard. And I didn't even know I was working. Because all I was doing was taking this one thing and moving it over there. Is that work? You see what I mean? It's all in your attitude. If you don't like that, then it turns into work. But if you're just doing this, it's easy. It's fun. That's what we have to learn. We have to learn how to change our ideas about things and make it fun, whatever you're doing. If you can't smile and you can't laugh with what you're doing right now, is it worth doing? Do you see what I mean? The more you can smile, the more you can have fun helping, doing things that your parents need to be done, and having fun doing it, the easier life becomes. Everything becomes a joy. There's nothing that you don't do. Oh, I don't want to do that. Have you ever done that? Mom tell you to do something, you go, no, later. I want to watch TV. Huh? A lot of people are looking down and looking away. And then when you do it, you wind up doing not such a good job, because I don't really want to do this. I want to go back and watch TV, or I want to get on the computer and play on the computer. So you make what your mom or dad ask you to do hard for yourself, because you're not having any fun doing it. And it's your choice whether you have fun doing something or not. It's your choice all the way. You can be happy. You can be unhappy. You can laugh. You can cry. Your choice. I like to laugh. Makes my body feel good. Crying doesn't make my body feel so good. So I choose to be happy. But it is my choice. Now, the thing that's real interesting is that's what the Buddha was talking about when he started talking about keeping the precepts. You keep the precepts as closely as you can, and it leads to having a happy mind. And the more happiness you have in your life, the more successful you become. That's the way it works. The more you break precepts, the harder life becomes. Right now, there's an awful lot of people that have depression. They get depressed. They have to take drugs for depression. Or some people in school say, oh, you have this attention deficit disorder. Why is that? Because you're not following your precepts very well. That's the real reason. I know a lot of children today they go to the doctor and the doctor gives them some kind of pill to take. And then it dulls their mind out so much that all they do is just sit. They can't do much else. Does that lead to a happy life? I don't think so. You keep your precepts. You especially don't tell lies. You don't use foul language. You don't gossip. You don't talk about other people and make up stories. You don't try to divide people. You don't say, my friend is over there and they said this about you. You don't do that sort of thing. And then your mind becomes more uplifted. Now, this is something that you have to practice all the time. It's not just about keeping while you're at the temple. This is about keeping your precepts 24 hours a day. And you know another advantage of this? Go to sleep real easily. You don't have so many bad dreams. When you wake up very alert. Well, isn't that an advantage right there? And it stops you from having severe accidents. So there's all kinds of advantages for keeping your precepts, being conscious of not breaking your precepts. Now, one thing that happens is sometimes you might forget. Okay? Whoops, I broke a precept. I said something that wasn't right. Well, you don't have to feel guilty about it. But what you want to do is, in your minds, tell yourself, I'm not going to break that precept again. And forgive yourself for making a mistake. Okay? So you don't have to feel guilty about it. Yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I broke a precept. But now I won't do that again. Now, I know sometimes that somebody will come up and they're not dressed very nice, but they think they are. And they ask what you think of their new clothes. And you say, oh, that's gorgeous. And in your mind you're saying, oh, that's a terrible. It's better not to say anything than tell them a lie about what you really think. It's better to talk about something else. Okay? It really is much better. Because you say something, you really think that their clothes is very bad, and you say it's very good, your mind will say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now you have a guilty feeling. And that starts to cloud the way you see the world. You don't see the world in a clear way anymore. And you're hurting yourself by doing that. But you can justify it, and you can tell yourself, well, I said that so I wouldn't hurt their feeling. It's better to be quiet than it is to say something that's not true. Now, there's a real interesting sutta. If I can find it. That talks about what to do when people come up to you and they use a certain kind of speech. The Buddha was real clear about this sort of thing. Okay, he says, there are five courses of speech that others may use when they address you. Their speech may be timely or untimely. Sometimes you're in a hurry, you haven't got time to listen to them, and that's called untimely. What they say may be true or untrue. They may say it in a gentle way, or they can say it in a very harsh, hard way. It can be connected with good, or it can be connected with harm. They can speak it with a mind of loving kindness, or they can speak it with a mind of hate. Now, these five different kinds of things can happen with anybody coming up and talking to you. Then the monk said, the Buddha said this: you should train thus. Our minds will remain unaffected, whether they say something true or untrue, or they say something gentle or harsh. We shall utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare. With a mind of loving kindness. What does that mean? A mind of loving kindness. Yeah. Well, that's kind of it. I've been teaching everyone what loving kindness is all week. It's having thoughts and feelings that are very uplifted, and you make that wish for someone else. See, when you practice loving kindness meditation, you can't give something to someone else if you don't have it. Right? You want to give a gift to somebody, but you don't have the gift, how can you give it? So you have to do it for yourself first. Now, when I teach people how to practice loving kindness, what I do is I tell them, you have to smile all the time. And then now everybody's looking down again and not smiling. How does that feel when you're smiling? How does your mind feel when you laugh? Huh? Feels uplifted. Feels good, doesn't it? Well, when you have a mind that feels good, then you have a mind that can send good thoughts to other people very, very easily. Right? So, how much do I want you to smile? All the time. But smiling is not just here. Smiling is with your eyes. Smiling is with your mind. Smiling is with your heart. When you can smile like that, you can give that happy feeling away to other people because you feel good. So when you have somebody come up to you and they can say something that's not true, or they can say something that's very harsh, and look at them and send them your smile. That will help that person to have an uplifted mind. That's what the Buddha was talking about. So you can be happy, and then you affect the world around you by being happy. Other people feel happy too. You ever run across a friend and they're very unhappy and they're crying? What's the first thing you do? Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Are you helping your friend by doing that? No. You're making your friend more miserable. You send happy feelings from your heart to your friend. And before long, their emotional state lets go and their mind starts to come up to the level of your mind. That's how you help. The more you can say things and do things that are kind and uplifting, the happier you make the world around you. That's the way it works. That's what the Buddha tried to show us all the time. We keep our precepts so we can be happy. Once we're happy, we have to practice our generosity and give it away. Give it to everybody else around us, especially to your parents and your friends and your teachers and everybody you see. The more you can practice having a smiling, uplifted, happy mind, the more life becomes fun. And when life is fun, it's really worth living. Isn't that right? So don't sit there with a sour face looking at me. Smile. How does your mind feel now? Do you see? It really does make a difference. So the more you can use kind words and share those kind words with even people you don't know. You walk into a store and the cashier is having a bad day. Okay, so what do? Do you say something to make her day worse? No, you smile and you wish her some kind of happiness. You appreciate her. She's a complete stranger, but you make her happy. When you make her happy, the next people behind you in line, they get some of that happiness too. Do you see how it works? The more you can practice being happy, the more the world becomes happy. Right now, that's a real unusual thing. Especially in California, everybody is so tight and so afraid. Things aren't going like they're supposed to. Oh, the economy is so bad. How am I ever going to get a job? We don't have any money to do things. Well, you can worry about that all you want. Or you can help everyone in your family to be happy. Life is supposed to be a game to play. It's not supposed to be something to be afraid of. So how do you practice playing life? Smiling helps, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Then how much do you need to do that? I used to have some of my students give me a mirror, get me mirrors that people could carry with them. And on the mirrors, we took some fingernail polish and we wrote smile on it. And then I gave it to other people. And I said, anytime you're walking down the street, anytime you're doing anything, take a look at what your face looks like. And if it's not smiling, then it's time to start. Now, it's a real interesting scientific fact that the corners of your mouth are real important. If the corners of your mouth go down, so does your mental state. The corners of your mouth go up, so does your mental state. So the more you can practice smiling all the time, the happier you are. That's the way it works. The more you can help other people to be happy, the happier you will become. So you keep your precepts. You be real helpful whenever somebody asks you to do something. Don't tell them, no, I don't want to do that now. I want to do something else. Just get up and help. And you'll start finding out that life is really a lot of fun. And it's worth it. Not just a little bit. The more you can practice, the better you get at whatever you do, right? So, the more you smile, the easier it becomes. Smiling with your mind, smiling with your heart, wishing your friends happiness. That's what loving kindness is. Not because you want anything from your friend. You just wish them happiness because it's a nice thing to do. It's a way to help. And that's real important. Okay, so I've been talking for a long time. Do you guys have any questions? You mean I told you everything you ever wanted to know about what the Buddha said? When I was in Malaysia one time, there was a man that had been practicing how to chant for 7 years. And he came and he was very proud of the fact that he could chant. And I asked him if he wanted to chant for me. Oh, yes, please, let me chant this. Okay, so I listened to him chant. And when I got done, or when he got done, I asked him, that was great. What did it mean? And he looked at me and he said, well, it doesn't matter what it means. It's the feeling. And I said, oh, then it doesn't matter whether you chant banana over and over again because it's the feeling you're after, right? And he got the point. You chant things that you understand. If you don't understand the meaning of something, find out before you just start chanting. It's very important. Just to parrot what other people are doing without knowing what you're saying, you might as well say Coca-Cola, 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 because it has the same meaning for you. But at least you know what Coca-Cola is. Right? Everything about the Buddha's teaching is about understanding, learning how things work. Don't do things blindly just because everybody else does them. Know what the meaning is. And if somebody asks you to say something and repeat them and you don't understand what you're saying, please ask them. You won't get in trouble. Ask them to tell you, well, what does that mean? I don't understand. So, when you're asked to take the refuges in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, do you know what you're doing? What does taking refuge in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha mean? Now, you all just got through doing it. Don't you know what it means? It means that you have high respect for the Buddha. He was a teacher. He was the best teacher ever. And you respect that very much. And you respect what he taught, the Dhamma. And you respect all of the monks for keeping the Dhamma alive. That's why you take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And you do it three times because the first time you kind of, well, I got it a little bit. The second time, yeah, I'm starting to understand it better. The third time, now I've got it. That's why you do things three times. The Buddha was really good at repeating everything over and over again. And in this country, well, you already said that. What are we saying it again for? This country does not lead to having a peaceful, calm mind. This country leads to having a kind of greedy mind, a kind of weak understanding of how things work. But the way the Buddha taught, mostly because it was oral tradition, he would repeat everything three times. And when he repeated everything three times, the third time, you had it set in your mind. And then you would go away and you would start reflecting on what he said because you have it very clearly in your mind. Now you hear things one time, maybe, and you think you understand it. The Western mentality is to do everything as fast as we possibly can. I want to go get something to eat. Let's go to McDonald's. Fast food, fast this, fast that. You want to know something interesting? In the 1930s, now this is 70 years ago, a housewife would clean a house and it would take her 2 hours. And now we have vacuum cleaners and electric this and electric that, and we have all of these things that are supposed to make life simpler, and they timed how long it took to clean your house, and it's 2 hours. Well, we have a lot of gadgets. We have a lot of machines that are supposed to make life easier. But it still takes the same amount of time to clean things. So are we really gaining anything from having all of these material things? When I was in Malaysia, one of my favorite questions for people was, what's more important for you, time or money? And they always got real smart and they said, well, time is money. And I said, no, it's not. What's more important to you, time or money? Ask somebody that's dying of cancer. Do they want $1 million or do they want more time? Time is a lot more valuable than money. And it's what you do with your time that's most important. And how do you affect the world around you? Do you affect the world around you in a positive way or a negative way? The more you can smile, help other people so that their suffering isn't so much. The more you can be kind and gentle and helpful the more successful you will be in life. Isn't that an odd thing to say? Success does not equal your bank account. Success is found out to be here. If you're really successful, that means you're very helpful. You keep the precepts very closely. You do things that make other people happy. I'm a monk. I don't work for a living. I don't have any money. I have time. And that in itself makes me successful. I have time to study. I have time to see what the Buddha was talking about, so I can spend time with you explaining these kind of things. One sutta talks very much about everybody wants things. They have things that they wish for, they would like to see happen. And the things don't appear when they break their precepts. But they start to increase as you keep your precepts. That also relates to smiling and being happy and being helpful for other people. The more you look out for other people and don't be selfish, the easier everybody can get along. You want to get over war? Start helping other people to be happy. And that can spread. The more you're happy, the more other people around you are happy, the more you affect the world in a positive way. During the time of the Buddha, Buddhism just took off. Because it was only about teaching how mind worked and how to be happy. When they measured wealth, how wealthy is your family? They didn't measure by how much gold they had. They measured their wealth by how much they gave away. They would go out and get a lot of food. And if they were somewhat wealthy, at one of the gates to the town, they would have a place that anybody wanted to come for food, they could be fed. Now that was a kind of wealthy person, a very wealthy person. There was four gates to all cities. Now they would put a table at all four gates. Anybody that came into the town, they would have food. They didn't have to buy food. They put one table in the middle of the town. They put one table at their gate. They were considered to be very wealthy. They were wealthy because of what they gave, not what they hoarded. Didn't have anything to do with their bank account. Had to do with their generosity. The more you practice giving, the more successful you become. So you practice giving kind words, kind speech, kind actions, kind thoughts. You will be successful. It's not going to be all of a sudden I'm rich, but you will grow into a more and more happy life. When I was in Malaysia, there was a lady that came to me, and she said, "The doctor told me that I have cancer, and he said that I'm going to die in 6 weeks. What can I do so I will be happy?" So I said, "Well, one of the highest gifts that you can give is life." "Well, how do you give life?" "You go and find an animal that's going to be killed and let it go free." So she thought, "Ah, I can do that." There was a lot of fishing boats, so she would go down to the fishing boat and she would buy 100 little fish that they were going to use for bait. And then she would let them go free. And I told her that when you do that, you reflect on how good a thing it is. What a kind thing you've just done. You've just saved the life of a being so that they can live longer and they can be happy. She did it every day. The fisherman thought she was crazy. But she became very, very happy. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor told her that she didn't have cancer anymore. And as far as I know, to this day, she's still going out and buying fish and letting them go free because it makes her so happy. But it doesn't have to be fish. In Malaysia, they have, at the market, they bring live chickens. And they'll butcher them right there and then give you the meat. And this one lady who broke the precepts. Now let me tell you the whole story. I was teaching her meditation. She got to a point where she was very good. She could sit for a long, long period of time without moving. Her mind went very deep into the meditation. I had to leave for a couple of months because I had to go to another country. And when I came back, the first day I came back, she calls me up on the telephone and said, "I'm not going to meditate anymore." I said, "Why?" She said, "Oh, I can only sit for a half an hour." I went, "Aha, okay." Now, she was sitting up to 4 hours before. She could only sit for a half an hour. I said, "What precept did you break?" She, "Oh, I didn't break any precept." "Okay. You can't stop meditating. You have to sit at least 1 hour." Called me up the next day. "I'm going to quit." I said, "What precept did you break?" "Well, here's the deal. She likes to keep a very clean house. But you know what it's like in Asia, that you have all kinds of bugs coming around. And she just got through cleaning the cabinets and a line of ants came walking along her cabinets. And she just very nicely got rid of them. And she came back a little bit later and there was this line of ants. And she got angry and she went and got the insect killer and she killed all those insects. As soon as she did that, she could not sit in meditation anymore. She had a guilty mind. Now, when she told me this, I said, "Okay, fine. Now we know how to handle this problem." I said, "Go buy an animal that's going to be killed and let it go free." So she went to the market and she bought 2 live chickens. And I told her, "You could take them out to the forest and let them go free. And when you let them go free, you let go of that guilty feeling of killing these other animals." So she had two children. One of them was 4 and one of them was 6 years old. And they're thinking that it's very peculiar that they're having live chickens in the back seat. They're not used to that. And the mother took them out into the forest, and she cut the string off of their feet and set them down and let them go free with letting go of that guilty feeling. And what happened is one of the chickens went a little ways, turned around, and looked her in the eye as if to say thank you. Now let's look at this from the point of the chicken. The chicken is put in a small box, and they see every time the butcher reaches in for one of them gets killed. They watch him getting killed. They hear the cry of the chicken as it's dying. So this is turning into kind of a bad day for them because they know that they're going to be killed. They have a lot of fear. They have a lot of anxiety. So now they get caught. And they're thinking in their mind, oh, this is it. I'm going to die very soon. And they don't like that. But the butcher just takes some string and ties them up and gives them away. Now, the woman lets them go free. What happened in their mind? It went from the worst day in their life to the best day in their life. They went from very fearful dislike to happiness, realizing that they weren't going to die. That's how powerful giving life can be. Now, as soon as she did this, she went home. She sat in meditation 4 hours. Her meditation was great. And she didn't talk to me about wanting to quit anymore. Okay? But her kids, they thought it was great fun to do that. So they said, next week, can we go let some more chickens go? So she got in the habit of buying a couple chickens every now and then and going and letting them go free because the children like that so much. They really were doing a good thing. Now in Burma, there was a monk that he spent a lot of time walking around on alms round. And this one water buffalo was always watching this monk walk by. And a butcher had bought the water buffalo and was going to kill it the next day. Now this water buffalo was pregnant and had a baby. And was very fearful of dying. It knew what was going to happen. So at night, she had such strong thoughts that the monk realized that this animal was going to be killed. He went to them in the morning, very early, to the butcher and said, are you going to kill this water buffalo? And the butcher said, yes. And the monk said, well, please don't do that. I'll be back. How much would it cost for me to buy that? And they came across a price. So every time the monk would stop at a house, he would ask them to donate so they can save a life. Finally, they got enough money, and the monk took the water buffalo and put it out on the road. The water buffalo turned around, and there's a very famous picture of this. They took a photograph of it, of the water buffalo kneeling to the monk. And then the water buffalo went into the forest, never saw him again. The gift of life is one of the highest gifts that you can give. There's a lot of good merit involved in that. So if sometime you see at a restaurant, sometimes you can go and they have live fish swimming around and they take one of the fish and then they cook it. Ask your mom or dad to buy it live for you so you can go let it go free. Put it back out in the ocean if it's an ocean fish, or freshwater if it's a freshwater fish. And when you do that, anything that I've ever done wrong, I let that go with the fish. It make you very happy. Okay? There's a lot of ways to keep your mind uplifted and happy. You have to think of them for yourself and practice them. There is something that the Buddha said was, if it makes you happy and it makes everyone else around you happy, then you know you're doing the right thing. And you should do that over and over again. But if you do something and it makes you happy and it makes other people unhappy, then don't do that anymore. Or if you do something that makes you unhappy and everybody else around you unhappy, definitely don't do that again. Okay? Everything about the Buddha's path is about happiness. Smiling. Having fun. And the monk took the water buffalo and put it out on the road. The water buffalo turned around. And there's a very famous picture of this. They took a photograph of it. Of the water buffalo kneeling to the monk. And then the water buffalo went into the forest, never saw him again. The gift of life is one of the highest gifts that you can give. There's a lot of good merit involved in that. So if sometime you see at a restaurant, sometimes you can go and they have live fish swimming around and they take one of the fish and then they cook it. Ask your mom or dad to buy it live for you so you can go let it go free. Put it back out in the ocean if it's an ocean fish, or freshwater if it's a freshwater fish. And when you do that, anything that I've ever done wrong, I let that go with the fish. It make you very happy. Okay? There's a lot of ways to keep your mind uplifted and happy. You have to think of them for yourself and practice them. There is something that the Buddha said was, if it makes you happy and it makes everyone else around you happy, then you know you're doing the right thing and you should do that over and over again. But if you do something and it makes you happy and it makes other people unhappy, then don't do that anymore. Or if you do something that makes you unhappy and everybody else around you unhappy, definitely don't do that again. Okay? Everything about the Buddha's path is about happiness. Smiling. Having fun. You like to have fun? The more you can smile into life, the more successful you become. There's nothing worth getting sad over. Sadness will come sometimes, but you can let that go. It's just a feeling. Let go of your judgments. Smile and give your smile away as much as you can. And then you will see how successful life really can be. Okay? So I asked if anybody had any questions a while back. I've talked some more. Do you have any questions? I'll tell you what it says in one of the suttas. Says, whenever there's a monk around, if you don't ask them questions, then when you die, you will be reborn stupid. But if you ask a lot of questions, you will be reborn very intelligent. It's up to you. Yes.
I have these two friends, and sometimes when one of my friends is sad, he gives to my other friend the comfort, but my other friend just tells him it's your choice to be happy, but it doesn't comfort my other friend, you know, the way that he wants to be comforted.
Yeah.
And I want to help the second friend to help the sad friend, but I don't know what to say to him because he's right.
Yes. So what do you do? You know, I have an awful lot of people come to me, especially when they're sad and upset. And I don't say anything to them. I let them go on about their sadness. And what I do is I send them loving and kind thoughts from my heart. And in a little period of time, now they're not emotional and they're not really upset anymore, and they start to feel happy. So I don't say anything to them. I can't change their mind, but I can change my feeling. And I can send that feeling to them. And that helps them to let go of the sadness. Or at least be able to talk about the cause of the sadness. And before long, they find out that they weren't really as upset about that as they thought they were. And they always thank me when they leave. They always feel better. So what you do for your friend is you practice loving kindness. How do you practice loving kindness? Think of a time when you were real happy and that happy feeling comes into your heart. It's kind of a glowing, radiating feeling. Now, you make a wish. May your mind be peaceful and calm, for instance. You know what it feels like to be peaceful and calm? Okay. Then you take that feeling and you put it in your heart. And you think of your friend, and then you put your friend right in the middle of that feeling. and give them a nice warm hug in your mind. Radiate that feeling to your friend. You'll be surprised how well everything works out. Okay? It really works, I promise. It takes practice to do it, too. It's good that if you take a little time every day and send loving and kind thoughts to a friend, maybe 5 or 10 minutes is enough. But if you do it every day, then you'll start to be more familiar with how it works, and then you can remember to use it more. When I teach people how to do this meditation, they have to do it with a smiling face. I'm going to give you a challenge now. I just did.
Just think, that's it.
No, I said you have to feel the wish. Put the person in the middle of that wish that's in your heart and radiate that to them.
Just think,
no, it's feel. You have to feel the wish. You have to think of the wish first, of course. Then you have to feel the wish, put that feeling in your heart, surround that person, and radiate that feeling to them. Do you have any more of the brochures or the books? No.
It happens especially with college students. When they were getting ready to take a test, was they would be studying for a little while, and then they would start to worry, and then their mind would kind of go away for a little while, and they'd come back, and they have to go back and reread everything they just read because they weren't paying attention to it. So what you have to do is notice that that's what's happening, that your mind is getting distracted, and let it go. And relax and come back and pay more attention to what you're doing while you're doing it. And if you don't have fun studying, make a way to make it fun. Turn it into a game. You'll be surprised how good your test scores are going to be. And you will benefit other people around you because of your attitude towards the test. You won't be afraid of it. Now, when you're taking a test, everybody starts at the top of the page and they do this one, this one, this one, this one. If you don't know the answer right away to one of those questions, let it go. Go on. And then come back to it. And what happens is, if you don't know the answer to this and you sit there and you try to think and try to think and try to think, then you start losing a lot of time and you don't have time to finish your test, and then you don't get as good a score. It's better to go, oh, I don't know that one right now. I'll think about it later. Let's go to the next one, like that. Now, one of the mistakes that I made when I was in college was when there was a major test, I stayed up all night studying. Waste of time.
made me sleepy. I didn't feel good when I was taking the test. The night before the test, get a good night's sleep. If you don't know it by then, you're not going to know it by staying up all night and trying to cram for it. Doesn't work. So, any time that you find that your mind is distracted, let go of the distraction and relax that tightness in your mind. Before long, you'll start noticing that you stay with what you're trying to study for longer periods of time. And you start retaining it if you make it fun. I can't stress that enough. It's got to be fun. You have to have high interest so that you can do well on your test. You have to be interested in what you're doing. If you have the mindset that I'm just doing this so I can get the grade, so I can get the heck out of here, then the chances are you're not going to get as good a grade as you could. But if you have fun doing it, then you will get good grades. Promise. Okay? Do you have any other question like that? Easy stuff. Okay. Then we're going to have a break now. Okay? So I'm going to share some merit with you. May suffering ones be suffering free, and the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief, and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we've thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.